All right. Anybody have dreams? I was wondering who was going to show up this morning. You know, you mentioned the topic sex in church, and it's kind of like, how many of you are squirming in your seats right now?
Yeah.
I remember when I came, we had some Sunday school lessons that, you know, dealt with the topic of sex, and when that topic came up, the Sunday school teacher did not come to church. He didn't come and teach his lesson that Sunday. You know, how many of us wrestle with that when we're raising our children and you have to have the sex talk? Anybody? How many remember their parents doing the sex talk for them? Boy. Yeah. I grew up in a generation, and just to kind of give you an idea where I grew up and what we did, my mom and dad went to the high school orientation, and they did the sex talks. My dad and mom walked in with a handful of condoms, I'm going to say it, threw it in the basket and says, there's your safe sex. That's what my parents said. Yeah. That's how I was raised. Well, I think there's a better way of dealing with this, and we've been looking at these necessary sins because we live in a world that seems to say some things just, well, they're kind of necessary. You know, we begin by saying, you know, sometimes you just have to lie, right? I mean, come on. I mean, there's times when you just, it's a lie. We lie to ourselves. God hates liars. I mean, the scripture says that. You know, last week we talked about gossip. You know, sometimes, you know, you just got to tell the story. You got the story and you want people to know the story. You know, next week we're going to look at anger, but this morning I want to look at lust. I want to talk about lust. Now, I think this is a growing issue and it's even getting worse. Now, when I was a kid and when I was a child, pornography was my neighbor's house, the Playboy magazines that his dad collected. His dad wanted the articles, right?
Yeah.
But nowadays, anybody that's got a cell phone has access to pornography. And I was at a conference at my school board meeting in San Francisco, and the gentleman was talking about 80% of our kids. Now, I was talking about my grandkids, all right? I was thinking of when he mentioned that. 80% of kids have a picture on their cell phone they shouldn't have. 80%. You know, I got some statistics here. It's just astonishing. Now, we know it's every man's battle. There's a book called Every Man's Battle. If you haven't read that book, men, that's a good book you need to read. It's called Every Man's Battle. It's a book well worth reading. It kind of gives you the battle that the guys fight. And we know it's a male battle. It's a male issue, but it's not just a male issue. Here's some of the statistics I found. Women admitting to accessing pornography at work, 13% at work. Women keeping their cyber activities secret. That surprised me. Not just pornography, but keeping their cyber, their activities on their phones and in their computers, keeping them secret, 70%. 70%. Women who struggle with pornography, 17%. I've read studies anywhere from 1 to 3, from either 1 in 3 or 1 in 6. I've seen those studies that say that. Children, the average age of first internet exposure to pornography, 11 years old. 11 years old. Largest consumer of internet pornography, ages 12 to 17, is the largest consumers of internet pornography. Some of the statistics were, I just go on and read more about how much is involved, what's all there, $57 billion worldwide of money in pornography. And it was just some of the facts that I was able to dig up and to look at, because we kind of seem to say, well, it's just the world we live in. You know, it's just kind of necessary. And so as you look at it, I put this necessary sin here. Acceptable, understandable, and respectful. I want you to get this out. You're going to need your outline out this morning. Make sure you have that in your hand. I'm going to give you some web pages at the end you might want to look at. Don't look at it now, but at the end, I'm going to tell you some accesses and some tools that you might need. But we seem to say these things are kind of permissible. It's kind of okay, and we look at these kind of things. But what I want to make sure we understand is it's not. They are not necessary. They're not permittable. They're not acceptable. They're not responsible. They're not. And we need to look at this from God's perspective and understand God's perspective. So what I want to do is what we've been doing the last 2 weeks. We're going to do it this week. We're going to do it next week. We're dealing with what we think is okay, what we see as okay, what we understand as, well, it's just part of our world today. It's just part of growing up today. And we just kind of accept it today, when in reality, even though we call it necessary sin, that word at the end is still sin, isn't it? And I like this. We've been reading this out loud together. I want to read it out loud again. I want us all to read it out loud again. It's kind of a prayer. I think this is a good way to start this morning's message, is to kind of make this a prayer. So when you read this to me, think this as a prayer as you're reading it. Think this as, this is my prayer this morning. So are you ready? You guys ready? We did this in the past. So we're just going to read this together. So you read out loud. It's there. It's on the screen. You ready? Search me, O God, and know my heart. I don't hear. Am I deaf? I mean, I am getting older, but I sure didn't hear much reading out there. So let's try this again. 1, 2, 3. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Amen. We want God to point out the sin in our life. And I want us to take a few minutes to think about this, because today it's kind of like, well, it's okay. It's in our face. It's there. It's accessible. And, well, since it's there, it's easy. It's okay. It's okay. Everybody's doing it. It's okay. But I want to tell you, it grieves the heart of God. Sin grieves the heart of God. And we might think, well, it's just kind of our world today. The internet. The mobile devices. It's kind of where we're at. It's easy to get to. You know, I put three things down here. It's easy to get to, it's more tolerant, and it's not hurting anyone. So it's okay. It's okay. And I want to make sure, as we go through this message, I want to make sure you get a picture here of why it's not okay. Because I'm not talking about what it's not okay for somebody else. I'm going to talk why it's not okay for you and your battles in your world. And so I want to look at what God says. And I want you to hear how Jesus did this. Listen to what it says here. This is a Sermon on the Mount when Jesus was talking. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's not just the action, it's the thought. It's the thought. It's that thought process that goes on. It's the process that's in our head. We've committed adultery. Just to think, to visualize, to fantasize is a sin. And yet, if we're followers of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have to live by a different standard. Now, I want to be honest with you this morning. If you're not a Christian this morning, you don't have to worry about anything I say. It doesn't apply. But if you are a Christian, you need to take this seriously. Does that make sense? If you've crossed that invisible line that I describe week in and week out, you know, that invisible line that says, you know, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. And if you've crossed that invisible line, you've stepped into a different standard. You've accepted some different responsibilities. And see, so as a believer this morning, is that what I'm saying to you? You need to understand this applies to us as Christians. To us as believers. With so many people on the net, on their phones, in that digital world, in pornography, do you think Christians are exempt? No. It's a battle. It's a battle we all face, and it's in our face. It's in our face. Laura and I are at Disneyland walking around. Now, let me tell you the first one. We're walking around Old Sacramento one time. It's been several years ago. We went out for dinner with Dan and Linda, and we're walking around Old Sacramento. And Dan and I are just having a great conversation. We're just walking, talking, just visiting. And walking down the street, we turn another corner, and our wives catch up with us. They're kind of walking behind us. You know, women are supposed to walk behind the guy 10 feet, right? No, please don't do that one, all right? So our wives are walking behind us, and they walk up to us and say, did you see that? Did you guys see that? And we're going, see what? And they begin to describe a woman that had a certain attire or lack of attire. that was walking right in front of Dan and I. We never seen it. You know, it's just like we were in our conversation. But yet now I'm at Disneyland last week, 2 weeks ago, and I'm walking around, and there's some girl with a pair of cut-off shorts that she cut way too short. I mean, a little cheeky, you might say. You know? And it's like, what do you do? What do you do? I mean, it's in our face. Well, it's acceptable. Look, it's just what we live with. Is that true? No. I got a pair of pants. I give Laura a bad time. Went to Kohl's. And Kohl's has great sales and had a pair of pants for $4, my size. Anybody? Plus with the 30% off. All right? Come on now. You guys are in my boat. You know? You're at Kohl's, 30% off pants for $4. We buy them. I don't try them on at the store. You know, they're my size. We take them home. I put them on to wear to church the other Sunday, and it looked like I had put them on and stepped into the bathtub and let them shrink. So Laura won't let me wear them at church. I get to wear them around the house, but I can't wear them at church. You know, they're hanging in my closet, and it's like, okay, you know, what are you going to do, take $3 pair of pants back? It don't work. Yeah. But we make it, our society says these are acceptable. You know, it's just what everybody else is doing, and I want to fit in. We're Christians, and we've crossed this line, and yet I want to fit in. You know, I want to be a part. But I want to tell you something. That's Satan. And the scripture is real clear. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of his hooks, and one of the way he does that in today's world, is lust. It's that sexual sin that he just kind of hangs out there and tempts us. You know, even at Disneyland, you can walk around and find temptation. Old Sacramento, you can walk around. See, our world just makes light of this. And it's necessary sin. I want to say it's not. It breaks the heart of God. But Satan uses this tool. And I like this passage here. Look at James. And look what James has to say. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful action. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. See, what I want to tell you something is this. I'm not even going to talk about adultery. Let's back up a little bit more. Let's go just talking about lust. It's dangerous. Fantasizing is dangerous. That's not what he says, isn't it? It's dangerous. It desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. See, it's not only wrong, it's dangerous. And when, as I read this, a picture came to my mind. A great king of Israel. His name is David. Anybody? David. King of Israel. God had led, God had protected, God had brought to the throne of Israel to bring his people back to him. He united the kingdom of Israel as one nation under God. He did that. And yet he had a palace and a porch that overlooked his community. And I can imagine, anybody familiar with the story of Bathsheba? Anybody? Anybody heard that story of Bathsheba? Well, I can imagine this. I do not think it was David's first time on that porch looking at Bathsheba. I don't think that was his first time. I can imagine David walking out and he's looking around. Look at my kingdom, look at all the, just look at my kingdom and look at that. I can imagine David just, maybe a week later he's going, I wonder if she's out there. You know, it's that time again. Let me go. Yeah, there she is. I can imagine David, just that temptation, it's there on top of the house. But where did it lead? Where did it go? It began with lust. He's looking. That's what the verse says. The desire is give birth to action. The action is, hey, I want her. I'm king. I can get what I want. Sin for her. Lust became action of adultery. But not only does it go to adultery, it goes on. It says, when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. What did it do? Cost that guy his life. See, I want to tell you something. Lust has a price. And the price is death. Now, you might not die physically. But you know what lust does? It kills your purity. Is that right? It kills that purity that you have. That purity in your mind, that purity in your heart is damaged by lust. Yeah. I put down here, it kills intimacy. Those fantasies and those thoughts, it kills that oneness that one man and one woman build together. That relationship of one man and one woman in the bonds of marriage, uniting as one. Is killed by lust. Yeah. I put down here, it kills trust. Yeah. Can we trust them? Do we trust them? Yeah. I put down here, it kills spirituality. It kills our spiritual heart. It kills our spiritual life. God hates it. And so I left you a place. What is it going to kill in your life? What if you let this thoughts continue? Will it kill a relationship? It might not kill a relationship today, but can it kill a relationship in the future? With maybe your future spouse. Maybe it's killing you right now with the spouse you have. You know, as I'm preaching this, it's real interesting because it's like, man, it's really quiet in here. Because it's an uneasy topic. Because it is death. It does destroy. It hurts. We say, well, it doesn't hurt anybody but me. No, it does. It hurts. It hurts. I got some articles here. I found this, an open letter to the dad doing porn. I want to let you know, first of all, it says, Dear Dad, I want to let you know, first of all, that I love you and I forgive you for what you have done in my life. I also wanted to let you know exactly what your porn use has done to my life. You may think that it affects only you or even your and mom's relationship, but it had a profound impact on me and all my siblings as well. I found your porn on the computer somewhere around age 12. And she goes on. You know, I read that story. I didn't read all of it to you. Here's another one. This is a porn star. Her name is Tracy Lord. I don't know. Hopefully you don't know her name. Hopefully there's nobody here that recognizes. I know that one. No, please don't know that one. You know, Tracy Lords. She lied. She began doing porn at 15. First exposure was Playboy magazine at 15. She talks about all that went on in her life. Age 34, things finally fell apart. Lord, this is her Lords, who made dozens of adult films while teenager. Remembers the subsequently being happy. Now listen, subsequently being happy about an FBI raid on her apartment. I'm really glad that they did what they did, she said. But ultimately, they saved my life. So I'm really glad that they happened because I have no doubt in my mind that I would ultimately ended up OD dead someplace. And I would have been another statistic. Lust. You know, it's amazing what you can find. You need to know just so you get an idea, I'm going to Google some porn stuff for research. You ask Laura. I told Laura, and I wouldn't do it unless Laura was there with me on my computer. My computer sits in my office. There is no door on my office. When my grandkids were there, they could walk up and down the hall. I'll talk more about those kind of things you need to think about as you look at. We need to see it is death. Death to a father and daughter's relationship. Oh, it doesn't hurt anybody. It's not bothering anybody. It's just me. Death in a marriage. death even before the marriage gets started because of the relationship, because of something that happened even before you met your spouse. See, there's something there. And I like that word entice. If you turn your paper over, you can kind of see I gave you the definition. This is a Greek definition of entice, or rather, excuse me, the Hebrew and Greek. From the basis of it, to entrap, allure, beguile, entice, to lead astray, to lure into sin. Anybody ever go fishing? Anybody here ever fish? Anybody fish? You ever take a fishing lure? You know, you put that fish. I used to fish for rainbow trout, had a super duper. Everybody remember the super duper fishing lure? Come on, I'm not that old. You know, you put that on there and you throw it out there and you can see it in the water, glittering and flashing for the fish to come up. Hey, that's what lust is. It's that glittery, it's that flashy. You know, it's that little sidebar on the computer. It's there. See, that's what Satan uses. So I want to give you the process. You need to know. I sat through an FBI Citizens Academy. I had the privilege of going to a Citizens Academy. And it was really fun to go there and, you know, various programs, understanding what the FBI does and how they do their work. And one of them I went to was on cybercrime. And they talked about child pornography. And he talked about the process of a child pornographer. This is a guy that's interviewed them. He's the FBI agent that sits across from the table and does the interviews of those who are caught with child pornography on their computer. And the story they tell is a process that they went through to get there. And the story begins, simply they're looking at internet. They're just looking at it. And all of a sudden, they accidentally come across some child pornography. And it's gross. And they say it's gross. And they don't like it. And they just get away from it right away. And here's this FBI guy recounting how he has set across from these individuals. And how they just kind of gradually. And pretty soon, it's like, well, this isn't fulfilling their fantasies anymore. This isn't making them happy anymore. This isn't doing what it used to do anymore. And pretty soon they're down over here. It's not where they intended to go. It's not where they wanted to go. It's just they've been enticed. They've been led astray. So I put it, here's a three-step process to end up with pornography, all right? The first thing is you're exposed to some type of sexual impurity. There's a point in life where you're exposed to it. You know, it could be as a child, some of the games kids play, anybody ever play, you know, we've heard kids play, I hope my kids never played, doctor. You know, you show me yours, I'll show you mine kind of conversations that kids have. You know, cell phones today are unbelievable. I'm going to tell you parents, this is what I found out. I'll talk about it later, but I'm going to say it now too, because it's on your child's phone. You, as a parent, are the one with the contract for that phone. If the police wanted to charge anybody, they could charge you for what's on your child's phone. Did you know that? Because that's in your name, not theirs, because they're only a child. So even though it might be child pornography, because your daughter has showed some other boy and some boy showed them that in there, it's on that phone, you could be liable by the court system for that child's phone. And we get exposed some way, you know. You're walking the mall. I remember a few months ago, I went to the mall, and I'm walking down the mall, and I could not believe the posters in the window. I'm serious. I walked by one store. I'm not going to name the name Abercrombie & Fitch. I'm not going to name their name. And I walked by that store, and you look inside that store. What do you see on the big wall right there? Come on. Or you go on the other side of the mall and you walk down that other side of the mall and there's a place that has secrets. I don't want to know her secrets. I'm like, come on now. I mean, the mall has become a dealer in porn. I mean, I'm walking at a shoe store and there's a poster at the shoe store and I couldn't believe it. At a shoe store, I mean, I'm serious. See, we it's necessary. It's in our world. See, we're exposed to it some way, some form. You're sitting there doing some things on your computer, and all of a sudden there's this image over here looking for a friend in Salida. And you just click on that. I see those on my computer. Am I the only one that sees those on my computer? Or are you guys just going to sit there in line and say you don't see them? You know? Because you'll see that. I'm looking for a friend. Come on. You know, and you, well, I just clicked on it. Or there's a nice bikini over there. I'm getting at guys because I'm a guy. Maybe I'll target the guys. I don't know. Chippendale ladies, I don't know. You know? And you just click on it, you know? Or maybe even sadder to me, one of the saddest ones for me is maybe some of you have been betrayed. You know, statistically speaking, you know, in a church, even this size, with this few is here, there's some in here who have been betrayed by an adult. That's been abused sexually by an adult. Some of you have been betrayed. You know, some way you were exposed, and it begins with that exposure. I forget the number. I can't remember that. It's like 80% by the time they're 16 have been exposed to pornography. There was a number like that that have seen some form of pornography by the time they're 16 years old. See, we're exposed to it. And that's it all starts with that exposure. But I want to tell you that exposure, I put this next one here, that exposure has caused an injury. It's injured your heart. It's injured your mind. It's damaged you. All right? There's a wound. You've been hurt. Something happened. You might not think it's a pain. You might not think it hurt. But there's a damage now. There's a short circuit now. There's something in your head that says something's different, something's wrong, and there's something there. And so it begins with an exposure, and then it becomes an injury. And I'm going to dwell on this, and so I want you to remember that one. You might want to circle that word, because I'm going to come back to this word over and over this morning, because you've been injured. We've been injured by pornography. We've been injured. Satan has lured us. And he's damaged us. He's damaged our relationships with our spouses, maybe our future spouse. He's damaged our relationship with others. And then you become confused. See, then we get confused. Because there's joy. It feels good. It's fun. And yet when you're done, there's shame. There's disgust. You can't believe you did it. Why did I do that? I didn't want to do that. Why does that always... And we get confused. You know, I kind of see David here. You know, sitting there on the porch, and every once in a while goes out there. Is she there yet? No. You know, is she there yet? Oh yeah. You know, and then it's like, well, what do I do? You know, now she's pregnant. What do I? Confused. What do we do? How do we deal with this? You know, you start getting these feelings of guilt. I think Paul describes this beautiful. Look at what Paul says here in Romans 7:15. I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. He said, I'm confused. I don't understand. I don't get this. And there's shame and there's guilt. You know, why did I do that? You know, I was just reading an article this week. Some guy had finally got convicted. He had his girlfriend, and they shared some pictures. And then they broke up. Well, guess what he did with those pictures? It's called revenge. It's revenge something. Revenge, I forget, they had a fancy word for it. Because he sent those pictures to some others, like her new boyfriend. Yeah. Why? And so we try to justify, you know, well, I did it, but, you know, I'm single. I just don't have any other outlets. And, you know, and so it doesn't hurt anybody. So it's okay because I'm single and it's not going to bother anybody. You know, and so it's okay. Or my spouse, you know, she's just, you know, he's just not meeting my needs emotionally or physically. And so it's just a way to make up for those unmet needs. Yeah, I feel guilty. Yeah, it's a shame, but I can justify these feelings. I can make it okay. Or you get so convicted, you say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And you commit not to do it. But 4 days later, guess what? You clicked on it again. Why in the world did I do it again? Or maybe you're successful and you don't do it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months down the road, and then all of a sudden, you go on a binge on porn. This is what the studies say. This is what's out there. And it's like, see, it's Satan. He's lured us in. You know, I kind of look at sex like this. Now, maybe I'm crazy. But even as a young man, I looked at it this way. It's kind of like you turn the faucet on and you turn the faucet off, but you can't get it all the way. Anybody have a drippy faucet at home? Anybody ever get a drippy faucet at home? I think sex is that way. I think once you turn it on, I don't care what age you are, once you turn it on, if it's 12 years old and it's porn, or once you turn that valve on, you go to turn it off, and no matter how hard you turn, you can't get it. It just drips. Drip. 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 I want to tell you, what do we do? How do we deal with this? So what I want to do this morning, I'm going to give you some very practical things you can do. I want to just give you some things that make it so simple. You don't have to justify. You can deal with this. It's an injury. You've been wounded. So if you got your outline out, I want you to look at this word here. And I want you to say it with me. The word is protect. You protect the wound. You protect. Say what protect me. Everybody, one, two, three. Protect. I didn't hear it loud enough, all right? One, two, three. Protect. You got to protect the wound. If I cut myself, I'm going to probably put some Neosporin on it, and I'm going to put a Band-Aid over it. You guys are laughing at me. I know you two over there. Yeah? I got to watch my words. I get myself in trouble. You're going to put a Band-Aid. You're going to protect that wound. Am I right? Come on, help me out here. If I had a brain injury and I had a piece of my skull missing, would I wear a hat? I wouldn't just wear a hat, would I? I would put a helmet on. See, I want to make sure you understand something. If you have been wounded, you are not a loser. You just need some protection. Does that make sense? You've been exposed. You've been hurt. You got a wound. You need to protect that wound. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. But I want to tell you something. This is not a new battle we've been fighting. Remember I mentioned David, the king? Well, David wrote a bunch of Psalms. It's the biggest part of your Bible, like 119 chapters. Give you a little hint, 150 chapters, matter of fact. Now, this is almost 3,000 years ago. Psalms 119:9, look at what he says. How can a young man keep his way pure? How do I stay pure? How do I protect myself? Men or women, okay? By guarding and according to your word. And I circled that word guarding. I got to protect. I got to put a guard on. I need a guardrail. I need a Band-Aid. I need something to protect me. I've been wounded. I'm going to beat this up. If you are exposed to pornography and you have fell into the trap of pornography, you are wounded. You are not a loser. You are wounded. And God wants to help you overcome. Does that make sense? It's a wound, and it's dangerous, and it kills us, and it destroys. And God, we need to guard ourselves. You need to put a guard on. You need to put a helmet on. You need to do something. One of the great articles I had one time, I wish I could find the cartoon. It was in Christianity Today, I think it was. Some boy is asking, Grandpa's sitting in the chair, and he walks in, and little grandson walks in, you know, 16, 17-year-old grandkid walks in and says, Dad, what did you do for safe sex? He just held his finger up and showed his wedding ring. Sounds good to me. Yeah. We offer all sorts of excuses. But see, we've been wounded. So here's what I want to tell you this. It is not a fight you can win. You may be here this morning and you've been fighting pornography. Women, kids, it doesn't matter who you may be fighting pornography. I'm going to tell you, it is not a fight you can win. You will never win a fight with pornography. Never. I don't care how hard you fight. I don't care how big you think you are, how bad you think you are. You will never win a fight with pornography, with lust. That is a guarantee lose. And what's interesting, Paul talks about fighting sin all the time. You got to fight sin and you got to fight sin. But there's one sin he has a little different to say. Look here, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee. Circle that word, flee. And it's not that bug on a dog. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Flee. flee. Flee means run. Write that word down somewhere. Run, run, run as fast as you can. I'm the gingerbread man. No. Run, run, run as fast as you can. I'm a man of God. Run, run, run as fast as you can. I am a woman of God. When I was on my doctorate, we were walking and we had people, when I was wearing my doctorate, from all over the United States. There was a young lady from Nova Scotia with us. And one day we got to go eat in Chinatown in San Francisco. So we go and we park by the police station. We want to be police station on Stockton over there in San Fran. We park over there and we're going to walk to Chinatown. And we walk to Chinatown and you go down Broadway in San Francisco. Anybody know about Broadway in San Francisco? You know, come on in and see the show. Come on in and see the show. You know, and this girl wanted to know, would they invite me in? You know, is it just a guy thing? So we all walk down there. Now, you need to know there's eight of us. You know, and we're all ministries, okay? We're all in the ministry. We're almost, every one of us, we're pastors. And we're walking down the road, and sure enough, come on in, guys, come on in. They called barkers. I think that's what they're called, a barker out there in the street. Somebody help me out. I think they're called barkers. Come on in, come on in. You guys are really quiet. You know, come on in, and even the lady, come on in, lady, there's a show for you too. And one of the guys goes, we're a bunch of ministers, and we're running, running, running. You know, and that's what he says here. I'm going to tell you, do not fight pornography. You run. You run. Do you hear me? You run. You cannot win that fight. You got to run. When that pops up on your computer, you run. Don't, oh, if you play with fire, you will get burned. So I'm going to give you some tools. I'm going to give you some specific things you can do because it's really tempting. It's really tempting. You need to know. I just went to Nashville. I go to meetings. I'm without Laura in a hotel room. Now, at my house, if you got, anybody got cable? Anybody got cable? Come on now. Don't set. Anybody got cable? What is it? Satellite? Anybody else got satellite? Anybody got UVerse? Anybody got UVerse? All right. There's a thing on there called parental controls. They need to change the name. Porn, no. All right? No more porn. If you do not have that blocked on your TV, if you do not have MA blocked on your TV, you are not running from porn. Do you hear me? If you do not have MA blocked on your TV, you are not running from porn. You need to go home from this place this morning. You need to pull that remote control out and block that on your TV. All right? It's blocked on my TV. I have grandkids. You know, I don't want my grandkids going through the TV looking for something to watch and see some garbage on there that I don't want my kids to be exposed to. I've always blocked. If you don't have that blocked, you're in trouble. I go to hotels, and Laura's not with me. 80% of the time, I never turn the hotel TV on. I don't. I do not turn that hotel TV on 80% of the time. I pull out my iPad or whatever I have, and I sit in a hotel room and watch shows that I enjoy because I have my Disney things on digitally. So I'm sitting in a hotel room in Florida one time watching Pollyanna, you know, on my iPad, because I'm not going to turn their TV on. When it gets late night, you know, I might watch it about, you know, sports or something, but about 9 o'clock, you know, those, you know, 9 o'clock, you know, some of those channels kind of porn. Let's call it what it is. You know, how about a computer monitor? You know, do you have a computer monitor? I'm going to be long. Stephen just flashed 40. I'm sorry, guys. You're going to have to hang with me. Yeah. You need a computer monitor. You need to have something on there that tells you where you're doing. Mobile devices. Here, let me show you some pictures here. I got some companies that you might want to look at. And the back of your thing, if you look at the very bottom, there's a list of the websites. Safe Families. This is a great website. Lots of resources for parents. If you're a parent, you got children or teenagers, you need to go here. As a matter of fact, you can walk out today. And let's see here. I got one here. That's why I had this put up here. Here's my purity covenant. You can have your child sign a purity covenant. There's one here for the whole family. Family Internet Safety Pledge. They're out there on the in the entranceway. I made copies so you guys can take them home. I want to give you the tool. I don't want you, no excuses when you leave here, all right? Yeah. So here, internet family, internet safety pledge. Here's my purity covenant that you can make. Honor the marriage bed. I put that one on pink. Is that pink? I don't know why I put it on pink, but I like that. Honor the marriage bed. Before or after? You know, again, I've told you this before. Having an affair before you're married is committing adultery on your future spouse. I've told you that. Here's an accountability partner guideline. Some of us need to get partners. Somebody to hold us accountable. Even has the questions. I like this. Have you viewed any pornographic images since we last spoke, intentionally or not? Have you acted out in any way since the last time we spoke? Have you done anything since we last spoke that you are ashamed of? Some really nice questions here. You know, for some guys that need to, maybe women nowadays too, that need to think about those. This site has several of those forms on it. Great site. I gave you the web page at the end because I want you to have it. This is a great site for you. I don't care how old your kid is or where that child is. This is a must in your home. What's next? What other one did I have next? Covenant Eye, again, another great site. Another great site that just kind of, managing our eyes. They talk about having your eyes bounce. You know, like I said, I don't know why Dan and I didn't see that girl at Old Sacramento. We were just engrossed in our conversation. Yeah. But you got to watch. There's times when I look at the ground. I'm serious. I've been in places where I'm just, okay, Lord, where are we going? Yeah. You got to watch that. This Covenant Eyes is another great site. X3 Watch. This is a great one. This one cost. This is a monitoring site. If you got teenagers in your home, I think this is a must site. It monitors where your computer goes and sends you or a friend emails about what sites you're visiting. This is an awesome site, and it's a great resource. And the last one, I just learned because I went to the conference at the school board meeting, and I thought this was great for $4.95 a month. I'm going to tell you, most of you would be surprised with what's on your kids' phones. I've told my daughter, Jennifer, I would pay for this for my grandkids. So I don't know if Jules and Aubrey are going to get it on their phone, but I hope they do. And then Samantha and Matthew and Remy and Olivia. Because I want to know what they're looking at and what people are sending them. A lot of times, it starts out with somebody else sending them something. And it was interesting to hear this guy talk, because what the guy does is this. The guy, he's worked with the FBI. And the girl, you know, she'll finally give in and she'll send a picture. And then he'll text her back and say, I need to have more. And she goes, no. And he goes, well, then I'm going to show this to your parents. So guess what she does? She sends more. And she sends more because he's threatened to expose her, so she sends more. See, she got into a trap. This is a great site. I'll encourage you there. But you've got to do something to protect your wound. You don't run from this. You got to put a Band-Aid on it. You got to put a helmet on it. You got to protect yourself. Does this make sense? Am I on the right page here? You know, you got to do these things. There are magazines at the checkout stand that don't need to be at the checkout stand. You know, and then I'm not talking about Playboy. I don't know about you, but Cosmopolitan sometimes has some really interesting pictures on their front cover. And there's a Maxim magazine for guys or something. That might as well be porn to me. You know, there's books. Now, I'm going to say a book here. I hope nobody read it. If you read it, don't raise your hand. 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah, they even made a movie about that. I don't know what's in the book, but the way they've talked about it, I ain't going to go there. See, are we protecting ourselves? Oh, it's just our world today. It's kind of necessary to get along today. All my friends. And we justify all this. I want to tell you, if you are struggling, you are not a loser. You have been wounded, and you need some protection. Does that make sense? I want you here this morning, because just statistically speaking, there have to be some people in this church this morning who are on porn, all right? I can't pick you out because I don't know, but by statistics, there has to be, men or women. I mean, it's there. I want to tell you, you are not a loser. Satan has enticed you, and he's allured you, and you've been wounded, and you need to get a Band-Aid on there. You need to put some protection around you. I'm going to encourage you, if you're fighting this battle, don't fight it alone. You run, and you run to somebody. Because that's my next point. If you look at my outline here, the next point was this. It's real simple. You run to God because you pursue God. See, a good defense isn't all you need. You need a good offense. You got to do something on the offensive side. You got to get something on the good side. You got to get a relationship with God. You got to pursue God. Look at what it said in Ephesians 4, 18 and 19. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. Separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are all full of greed. You've been hurt. You've been damaged. You need to begin to pursue God. You need to begin to put God in your heart. You need to go to bed thinking about God and not any fantasy. Memorize the scripture. Work with God. Step alongside of God. Come next to God. See what God can do. You need to pursue God. You know, you're here this morning. Pursue God. Get in a small group. Pursue God. Find an accountability partner, somebody that you're willing to say, you can look into my life. I'm an open book. I give you guys, if you guys take this paper right here and it says accountability questions, you can ask me any one of those questions you want anytime you want. Anybody here? Now, I have Ron and Dan and Stephen and others that we meet every once in a while and we talk. But you need somebody that can ask you those hard questions and that you can experience those hard questions with. Listen, Satan has wounded us. And we need some help. And fighting it by yourself and fighting it and say, I'm going to fight this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. It's not going to work. I want you guys to close your eyes right now. Everyone, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. Okay, and now come on, some of you, no peeking. Close your eyes. Everybody got their eyes closed? All right, I want you to picture a pink elephant. You got this nice, big, plump, pink elephant. He's just kind of floating there, maybe dancing in phantasmic. You got that pink elephant. Now open your eyes. Look up here. What do you see? You see a pink elephant. Why do you see a pink elephant? Because I put it on the screen, but you see it because it caught your attention because you were already thinking what? Pink elephant. See, that's how we fight. I'm not going to do this. 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 And we sink down. You're not going to fight it by, I'm strong-willed. It's a spiritual battle. You need to protect yourself. You need to run. Literally run. Run to God and run to the protection. You've got to run. I end with this. There's just a few of us here. But even this size, there's those of here who've been wounded. We've been wounded. Maybe as a child. Maybe later in life. Satan has enticed. I want to tell you to run. You're not a loser. You've got a wound and it hurts. And it hurts. We need to get some protection on it. You need to take care of it. I think there's tools. But I also think we pursue. Will you protect yourself? Will you pursue God? Put your mind on God. Put your heart on God. And pursue Him. Just two simple things. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. One of my favorite verses. That's just the first part of that verse. John 10:10. I didn't give it to you to read, but you can write it down. John 10:10. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's what God wants for us. Pornography doesn't give it. Lust doesn't get it. Only God. Will you pursue Him? Will you protect your life? Let us bow. You know, Lord, I just thank You for Your love and Your care for your grace, for your mercy. In the midst of this world, Lord, Satan makes it so easy. It sounds so necessary to sin. But you hate it. But thank you, Lord, that you love us. That your grace and your mercy extends to us. That you care for us. And you watch over us. You know, with our heads bowed and I'm serious. I want all our heads bowed, all our eyes closed. I want anyone looking around. I don't care. It's not going to embarrass you. I don't want you to think about this too much. I just want you to do this. That maybe you've been exposed and you've been entrapped by Satan. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Go ahead and put them down. Now, there's others of you that you're sitting there lying. I'm going to just be honest with you. You're lying. You're fighting it and you're losing. Would you be honest and just say, pray for me? Would you just shoot your hand up? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. Father, I just thank you for those who sincerely want to please you. God, I pray for divine wisdom, that we distance ourselves from temptation, that you protect that wound, that you heal us and you renew us. You strengthen our mind and you lead us in your path of righteousness for your name's sake. But Lord, that we don't only have a good defense, but we put on a good offense. That we wake every day with our eyes focused on Jesus. That we run toward you, living out our calling and our purpose, serving you, serving our community, being a part of what you're doing in your church. Lord, prompt the Holy Spirit to encourage us and to strengthen us. Strengthen them, Lord, and empower them. Help us protect ourselves and pursue you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a hard sermon to give an invitation to, but I'm going to give an invitation. Maybe you need to come, and it might not have nothing to do with what we preached on and what we shared this morning. Maybe there's some other battles you're fighting, but I want to give you an invitation. This is time for God to speak to your heart. Maybe there's some battles in your life. Maybe it's not lust. Maybe it's something else. But this is time for you to get right with God. You can do it where you stand in just a minute, and you might want some prayer up here. But I'm going to tell you. You can fight sin, but you got to run from lust. Will you do that? This is your time for God to speak to your heart. So I'm just here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. Let's serve him. If you're wounded, you've been hurt, go to him. He loves you. He cares for you. Just as David, I go back to that story of David. Looking at Bathsheba. Sending for Bathsheba. She ends up pregnant, murders her husband, all that goes on. You get to Psalms 51, a great psalm. Psalms 51, write that one down. He repents and goes back to God. Then you go into the book of Acts, and it says he was a man after God's heart because of Psalms 51. Maybe you need to do that. This is your time for God to speak to your heart. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing this song, and you come as the Spirit leads, and we'll give God the glory and the honor this morning.